Hallelujah. Power, power. You're empowered. Everyone say, I'm empowered. Because if I carry the fire, I have power. If I don't have fire, I ain't got no power. Amen? Praise God. God is very good, even when we're not. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wow. We had a blessed time this weekend. You guys did a phenomenal job in sustaining our yard sale. We only had one sign that was stolen. It was the biggest one with the arrow. I think some city official probably took it home with them for a souvenir. He's probably showing everybody, look at this sign for a yard sale. But it was a very successful yard sale, so that was a blessing. And everybody did very well. It was really good. I want to talk about coverage. Coverage. And the Holy Spirit said to me as I was driving home from the gym this morning, he said, dimensional coverage. I said, dimensional coverage, okay. He says, it's like insurance. Let me share something with you that insurance companies are such a ripoff. I mean, they're disgusting. They're illegal. But and they so cooperate and collaborate, that's the word I was looking for, with the city officials and all of the rules and regulations, and that it causes problems. In other words, until your house is paid off, you've got to have insurance, which is ridiculous. And so you're actually paying your mortgage company the protection for their loan to you instead of them paying for it. Think about that. And, you know, so you can't wait to pay off your house so you don't have to pay for that stupid insurance. I mean, that insurance is ridiculous. Automobile, all of these insurances that are just out of hand. And I really believe that once Trump gets in office, a lot of this stuff is going to change. Because the hand of God is on him, and the Lord sees all and knows what we've been going through. The whole world's been going through. So we have what we call, the Lord's got, he shared with me about, we're covered. We have coverage, dimensional coverage. Now, we talked about three dimensions, past, present, and future. Each dimension carries a reality, or what we call two realities, real and not. Is everybody with me? So everything of your past is another reality. Everything of your future, I mean, is a dimension. It's a place. Everything in the present is another dimension. Everything in the future is another dimension. But there's still two realities in every dimension. It's either real or it's false. And so in these dimensions, each one carries two realities to simplify, false or true, either one. Amen? The tabernacle of God has three chambers. In these three chambers, outer court, holy place, most holy place, there are three functions. In these functions, each chamber that carries a function is with a purpose and a reality, each chamber. And if you'll go to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, dimensional coverage. I guess you could call it eternal insurance. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Now you got to remember something, that those who do not live in the tabernacle but live outside of the tabernacle do not have this coverage. They're uninsured. Second Corinthians 12, verse 1. Paul is speaking. He says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows such a one was caught up to the what? Third heaven. Now, heaven is also a representation of spiritual side. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Again, he was taken up to the third heaven. He had an opportunity to understand about the three-dimensional places in the spirit world. Now, in this, we know that there is each place, each dimensional place in the spirit world still carries a purpose and a reality. You know, if you think about it, there's eternal heaven, amen. There's the earth, and then there's hell. Three locations, three purposes, three realities. Everybody with me? Okay, Genesis 3:21. Let's speak it. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made what? Tunics of skin and clothed them. That word clothed is also covered. So here was the first covering made. This was the first dimensional covering that God made. He had to kill animal. Amen. He had to shed blood. And he, because these skins ain't going to come out of just nowhere, he created everything to produce something. And in this, he had to skin, he had to kill an animal and use their skins, their garments to cover, because it was associated with blood, life. Because life of the blood is in the flesh, it says. life of the flesh is in the blood. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life, eat and what? Live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden, a place where he was protected, to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, Adam and Eve were protected in the garden of evil, but they still had a free will, which moved them, their choices moved them out of that protection, out of that coverage. So God had to, because they were spiritually covered by God, by the glory of God. That's what they wore. They wore the garments of glory. And when they broke covenant with God, those garments were gone. So God created another garment for them of coverage. I guess he found a new agent. You know, get them new insurance. Eternal insurance. Hallelujah. And it was a sacrifice of an animal. Life for life. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, which means bondage, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Now, the 10th of this month was actually, it was the beginning of their new year, which was in April. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Of course, that's when Jesus died on the cross, twilight. And they shall take of some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintels of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and whatever remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with the belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So that's coverage. Amen? That's coverage. Hallelujah. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Again, this is called the Feast of Passover. This is where God covered them. It was a covenant. Now, this is a place where covenant protection, or what we call coverage. It was covenant protection. So God acknowledged the blood. He acknowledged the blood. The Father always acknowledges the blood. Always. The demons acknowledge the blood. The powers of darkness acknowledge the blood. But it must become activated. It cannot be dormant. And it becomes activated by your mouth. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Dimensional coverage. So whatever dimension you walk in, and or whatever reality you walk in, you're covered. Even if it's a false reality, you're still covered. As long as you maintain that act, it's like keeping the switch on all the time. It's like, you know, paying your monthly insurance, you're covered. But if it expires and you don't pay it, if you don't cooperate, then there's no insurance. There's no coverage. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Praise God. Let's speak it. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand and the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. This was underneath the tent that you see. That's called the sanctuary. Outside of that tent was called the outer court. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot and that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle and performing the services. But in the second part, the high priest went alone once a year. Not without what? Blood. He had to be covered. Which he offered for himself and for the people's sins that are committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Now think about that. That tabernacle still stood and then became the temple, which was still the tabernacle. So God did not He didn't pour out his spirit until after that tabernacle had been dismantled. That's why when the veil ripped, that place fell in. That was the end of the old covenant, the beginning of a new covenant, and a new tabernacle. Not made with man's hands, but made by God. And a new covering. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regards to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. But Christ came as what? High priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having attained an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so we see here that during the time of the tabernacle standing, there were still animal sacrifices. Once Jesus was sacrificed and as the Lamb of God, the eternal sacrifice, that tabernacle was no more, and a new covenant and new covering came. A new covenant and a new coverage came. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called circumcision, made in flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. No covering. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the what? The blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both good, both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or hatred that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, so many times we look at things as structural, physical buildings. But the body of Christ is a living organism. We are alive. It moves. We move. The Bible says that we live and move and have our being in God. But the body, it's His body. We're in His body. So we were taken from the world outside of His body and brought into His body. And by being brought into His body, we have a new covenant and new coverage. So covenant of promises and coverage. Does everybody get it? Again, the world is not insured by God. I mean, what better insurance do you need? And Jesus paid for it already. It's paid in full. Your cooperation with the Spirit of God keeps it active. Amen? Oh, happy days. 1 Peter chapter 1. So when the officer asks you for an insurance card, don't try to tell him you have dimensional insurance. You may end up in a dimensional cage. Glory, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. My daughter would probably try and do that, you know. Anyways. Verse something, 17. Let's speak it together. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, reverence, honor, and respect. Amen? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained beforehand, before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for us, for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope is what? Is in God. The Lamb of God, blood, brings dimensional coverage. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Didn't the psalmist say, wherever I go, you are? If I go to heaven, you are. If I go to hell, you are. You're everywhere, wherever I go. Wherever I lay my head, you are. Whatever dimension I'm in, you are. But we want to stay in the true reality, not the false one. Amen? Because if you live in a false reality long enough, you're going to end up breaking that coverage. The world lives in a false reality. They are not covered by God. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Let's speak it together. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, that means repent. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Confess our sins. Hello. Why? Because there's death and life in the power of the tongue. That means repent. Confession is repentance. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. So when you repent, you're activating the blood. You can decree the blood. If it's already been activated, you can decree the blood in any area, especially when you're driving your vehicle. It's always good. You apply the blood of Jesus on it, just like they did in the Old Testament for protection. Why? The Father acknowledges the blood. We got a whole teaching on this. It's done years ago. But this is dimensional coverage. No matter what's going on. You know, many people, especially during hurricanes and storms, if they apply the blood of Jesus on that house, that's dimensional coverage. But you better make sure that it's activated and paid up. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 4. Every time I go somewhere, we apply the blood of Jesus on the vehicles. And when I leave my house, I apply the blood of Jesus. Every day I apply the blood of Jesus on the whole campus. In verse 4, let's speak it together. 2 Corinthians 3, 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the what? The new covenant. The new covenant, the new promises, and the new protection. Not of the letter, but of the spirit, which means breath. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life, so the breath gives life. So how you activate, you must speak it. That's what the whole new covenant is. Speaking, not thinking, not doing, not reading. Nothing gets activated by reading it. You renews your mind, that's cool. Refreshes your mind. But you want to get it out there into the spirit realm. It says faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. Well, how did you hear it? Somebody had to speak it. Amen? Now, when you're reading your Bible, you're also hearing it, but it's not being spoken. So it's just renewing your mind. It's stirring you up. But when you begin to speak, what you speak is what you what? Eat. That's the difference. This is the difference with those who have relationships and those who walk in a religion. They're not free. I read my Bible 24 hours a day. I wonder why you're still bound. Because you ain't spoke not one word of it. Hallelujah. They'll get it someday. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the spirit or breath not be more glorious? Why? It's a breath of God. You're born again, filled with the Spirit of God. Now is God speaking through you. It's his Spirit. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of the righteousness succeeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because the glory that excels. Ooh. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for even until this day, that veil, that blindness, remains unlifted from the reading of the what? Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ, the breath of Christ. Does everybody get it? Okay, I'm glad. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. See, now we have a tendency to always look at the Lord as Jesus in the flesh. And I'm saying this not because the Father is the Lord, Jesus is the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is the Lord. Amen? They're all Lord. They're overseers. They're all one, though, but three different functions. But it says here something important. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or freedom. In other words, where the breath, where the presence, that breath. That's why praise and worship brings God's presence, brings freedom, doesn't it? Why? The more you worship them, what does it say? The sow in the Spirit, you reap what? Life. What are you sowing in? Breath. Amen? Hallelujah. But verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the, just as how you speak it. Does everybody get it? Speak, speak, speak. Don't talk so much. Speak the word. It's a ministry of the breath of God. It's the Spirit brings freedom, brings protection, brings promises, and victory by cooperation. Remember, you're activating the blood of covenant and protection by what you speak and by what you decree. Repentance. That's how it started, didn't it? That's all everything. Lord, forgive me. What'd you do? You activated the blood. And allowed God to draw near to you. He can only have fellowship with you distance. He couldn't even have fellowship. That's why the world had people go to other people. And that's why they kept them in bondage. You know, if you were brought up with Catholicism, you went to a priest instead of God. Because they didn't know no better on themselves. Hallelujah. Well, the Spirit brings revelation. Man's interpretation brings bondage. Brings ritual. Hebrews 10, 26. For if we do what? Sin willfully. That's premeditated. After we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a what? Sacrifice for sins, or a what? Covering. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be he thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Woo! For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which after you illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the what? That's called cooperation. Amen? Cooperation. So we know that if we willfully sin, it breaks covenant, doesn't it? There's no longer a covering. Acts chapter 3, and we'll close here. Dimensional coverage. That'd be a good way to bring people to salvation, open up a place. Free insurance. Come and get free insurance. Praise God. Well, there are benefits too. There's healing, deliverance, and so forth. Hallelujah. Acts 3, verse 18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent. Confess your sins. Therefore be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who is preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Now, this is powerful because he's, well, repentance. Remember, when you are not walking right with God, repentance is the first thing. That's what activates the blood. That's what's bringing us the first coverage, the first of the covering. Amen? But after you we repent, you get in God's presence as worship because you're now worshiping the Lord. You are being restored. There's an area where there's restore. By what? Being refreshed. So we repent, we get refreshed because in that refreshing presence of God, we're being restored. Amen? And then we're becoming a place in reposition to be reset. In that place of being reset, you're now in the arena where your destiny is beginning to be fulfilled. And you're walking in the will of God. By repositioning, we are dimensionally covered with protection and covenant promises. Dimensional coverage is eternal insurance. Amen? It's eternal insurance. Again, we are covered, but the world is not. They need to get covered. Amen? Especially the things that are getting ready to happen. Like I said, we can open up business that says free insurance. They can come in and get saved. Hallelujah. Eternal insurance. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the price of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you've done so that we can be covenanted, protected with promises, and covered. Covered with your blood, with your glory, given the power of your spirit and the piercing of your word wherever we go, Lord. We are honored and blessed. We call on the name above all names, Jesus, the name that brought it all, in Jesus' name.